Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The first question you wanted answered when you became president?
Where are the aliens?
Where are the aliens?
I think we all wanted that question answered. We want to know, what does the president really know and when did he know it? There's some mild curiosity about Kennedy, maybe about some other things, but I think the one we really want to know is, how much does the government really know about, you know, UAPs, ETIs, whatever, anything that, you know, might give us an insight about, you know, things outside of this planet. So former President Barack Obama doing a podcast recently, was asked in kind of the lightning round section, you know, I do this with DC and we've done this with other people in the past. And, you know, the premise of the lightning round is, don't think, just reflexively answer. You know, non-premeditated answers often generate the most interesting responses. And of course, sometimes when you give an off the cuff answer, you regret it. So you ready? So this is Barack Obama on the podcast on the subject of aliens.
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the President of the United States.
So it's a weird answer, because on the one hand, he says they are real, and on the other hand, he says, but I have absolutely no evidence to justify that belief, which is kind of a, you know, 6-7 of an answer for him, I think, a little bit. But, you know, unless there's some major conspiracy out there that's even hiding it from the president, said the plot of every USA Network movie. You know, it's hard to imagine a conspiracy that escapes even the president, but maybe that's why it's so good, is because it doesn't include the president. That's why they keep the secret. You know, the flaw of every conspiracy theory is that the less evidence there is of the truth of it, the more true it must be by definition, because that just proves they're hiding it really well. You know, conspiracy theories are, by sort of epistemological nature, the nature of how you know things, the belief system around conspiracy theories is self-exaggerating, because the less evidence there is, the more true they become. And if there's actually evidence for it, well, it's not really a conspiracy anymore, right? So anyway, the funny thing is that, you know, the more sure they are, usually it's the less evidence there is too. So the president, when he was just a candidate back in 2000, I think this is seven, I think this is eight, maybe somewhere in there, before he was even president, just as a pure candidate.
I don't know, and I don't presume to know.
About when he was asked the question about, do you believe in aliens, and, you know, are there aliens? I don't know. But now they're real, although, admittedly, I don't have any evidence for it. Unless they're keeping it from the president, like they're keeping all the good things from the president. 437-1620, 437-1620. Do I want to talk about this so early in the show? Oh, sure, why not? Who's my current favorite, least favorite politician? John, if you had to take a guess, this is at the state level, I'll make it easy for you. Who's most frequently, when he makes the news, Andrew's going to have something salty to say about it?
Uthmeyer.
There you go. James Uthmeyer. Well, guess what? James Uthmeyer's back in the news.
Oh boy.
Okay. How do I want to reveal the truth here? Apparently, back when he got appointed, remember Ashley Moody left the attorney general position to go be in the Senate. And because Marco Rubio was snatched out of the Senate to be made Secretary of State by the president. So there's a vacancy. And when there's a vacancy, you have an appointment by the sitting governor, appoints, and then there's going to be an election for that seat subsequently. But, you know, DeSantis appointed the Attorney General Ashley Moody, who's wonderful. She's great. She's been on the show several times. She's a very smart lady. And she is now the sitting senator, right? We have two senators, Rick Scott, former governor, and also Ashley Moody. Well, that creates a vacancy in the CFO, or the Attorney General position, the chief lawyer for the state. I know sometimes it's like everybody knows what an Attorney General is. Maybe. And if you're brand new to the show or haven't listened to a lot of talk radio or just don't know these things, we try to explain things, you know, and if you don't know, you don't know. Okay. So the Attorney General, the chief lawyer for the state, gets moved out of that position in the Senate, so there's a vacancy. So who does Governor Ron DeSantis appoint into that position, which will also be an elected position coming up this fall? All of your statewide elected positions like the governor and the attorney general and the CFO or an agriculture commissioner who handles basically the everything else job. It's guns, it's agriculture, it's consumer financial protection, it's all that stuff. Anyway, so he appoints his chief of staff, James Uthmeyer, or Uthmeyer. I still haven't decided which way is the right way to say it, and honestly, I don't care. You know who I'm talking about. Well, Uthmeyer has been involved in a whole bunch of controversies, particularly around the $10 million repayment of the Medicaid money that was supposed to go from Centene back to the state and instead goes, you know, sideways through the Hope Florida Foundation through two political action committees that he was overseeing at the time. This is before he was the attorney general, and which Alex Andrade has been, you know, the chief person raising the concerns about that. He's our state representative for District 2 in his committee on, you know, healthcare budgeting. And now there's at least a grand jury involving that case. So there's that. Then there's all the stuff around. There's so much. Anyway, the newest revelation about James Uthmeyer, you ready? He got a job, a side job, a side hustle, if you want to think of it that way, teaching law classes at the University of Florida in Gainesville. He's an adjunct. This came within a couple of months of Governor DeSantis appointing him as the new attorney general. So he gets moved from chief of staff to attorney general. He doesn't have a lot of litigation experience, doesn't have a lot of real-life lawyer experience. I mean, he has enough. It's not that he's not qualified. He's just, you know, he's not the kind of person you would normally pursue as your instructor at a law school, especially one as prestigious as UF, okay? But he is the attorney general. And so, you know, having the attorney general teach at your law school, I mean, that's, you know, people do that. That's a big deal. That in and of itself, not such news. 2 hours a week, a single class, you know, a two-hour week class. So, John, you have ever done adjuncting?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. You're teaching what? Communications, radio?
Radio and accounting.
Oh, and accounting. Okay. Where at? Northwest Florida Community College, UWF?
Florida Atlantic University.
FAU. Oh, okay. And how typical three-hour week class, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a normal college course, three credits, right? How much did you get paid adjuncting in accounting at FAU?
Got nothing.
Oh, you didn't get paid at all?
No. It was part of my graduate program.
Oh, and they didn't pay you even so?
Yeah.
Oh, got it. U of I, we got a tuition waiver, and we did teaching, and we got paid for the teaching. You didn't get paid for your teaching?
No. Well, and I didn't get paid at Ole Miss either.
That's
when
a
I was
terrible
teaching
arrangement.
Communication.
All right. Have you ever gotten adjunct for pay? You ever done adjunct for actual money?
No.
Oh, okay. It doesn't pay, what's the word we want? Much.
It doesn't. Well, I didn't think it paid at all. I mean, that was my experience.
Man, you know, at Illinois, they always had the people were trying to unionize for the grad students and, you know, we want more pay. We're sick of teaching for free or low amounts, you know. And I always thought, I mean, I like the deal. I'm getting paid to do what I love and, you know, I enjoy it and I'm getting a degree. What's the problem? And they're always like, but we should make more money because obviously make a lot less than professors, you know, who still don't make a lot, but they, you know, make more than the adjuncts. Well, it turns out I was wrong. You can make less.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
A typical adjunct when I was teaching, which is, you know,
20.
30.
30?
No, 20 to 30, yeah.
25.
Let's say 20. Let's be generous. 20 years ago.
Let's meet at 25.
When I stopped adjuncting, it was 20 years ago. Okay.
Okay.
A high pay, St. Louis University paid $2,400 for three credits. So $800 per credit hour per semester. All right, so it's not very much. It means if you taught like five classes in a semester, which would be you're teaching 15 hours, which is a lot for teaching, you know, you're making 12 grand. Times two is 24 grand a year. It doesn't pay great. Even 20 years ago, that was terrible money, okay? And that was at the high end. More common, you know, UMSL, University of Missouri St. Louis, as I recall, was 1,800. Your community college are more like 1,600. That's for 3 credit hours. So you're between $500 and $800 per credit hour per semester. Now, I know prices have gone up a little bit, but the numbers apparently hold pretty close to that. That these days, it's a little bit more common for you to make maybe $3,000, $2,500 for a 3 credit hour class. So let's just round it all and say about $1,000 a credit hour. Okay? So let's say, in fact, Uthmeyer had previously taught at FSU's law school as a Georgetown law graduate. He'd taught there for $1,500 a course. So $500, you know, it's pretty low. Okay, but let's say $1,000 credit hour. And he's teaching how many credit hours a semester? Two?
Three.
Two. Oh, two. Just two. Just two. All right. So 2,000 times two semesters is $4,000. So $4,000 would be a pretty normal rate for adjuncting at UF in the law school for the Attorney General of the state of Florida. Other AGs elsewhere do this. Some of them charge nothing. Sometimes judges do. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities. How much... The job itself is not the news. How much do you think James Uthmeyer is getting paid by UF for this normal price vicinity $2,000 a semester job, $4,000 a year job? How much do you think he's getting paid?
20 grand.
It's a little higher.
What?
That would be five times the going rate. It's a little higher.
How?
Take a stab. Let's play the guessing game. It's like the the yodeler on Price is Right. Let's see how high you can go without going over.
50.
It's higher than that.
75?
It's higher than that.
120.
You overshot. You're over the cliff.
100?
$100,000 a year for a $4,000 a year service.
I'm speechless. Wow.
And even if you kind of try to be generous and say that, well, I mean, you know, he's the Attorney General for the state of Florida. He's a get, you know, so, okay, push it up to 6 or 8,000, even 10,000.
Yeah, I was being generous at 10.
Yeah, let's say it's, 10,000 for the Attorney General of the state of Florida. He's getting paid 10 times that amount.
You know what I think it is?
Mm.
I think it's NIL money. He has a sponsorship in his class.
He's hot on Instagram. Let's go, baby. So, but it gets worse. You ready?
No.
I mean, that's the main big news. But if you are making this decision, if, for example, you're the board of trustee for, and they have, you know, Governor DeSantis, much like with UWF, much like with PSC, he forced his people onto the board at UF, so he controls that board. He stacked that board in his favor. Not a surprise they turn around and reward his chief of staff with a high-paying gig and overpriced gig. By the way, he makes about $140,000 a year as attorney general, so this is like a 40% pay raise for him for the year, $240,000. $100,000 more than the governor even.
Well, you know, it's expensive to go and teach that class.
Yeah, no, and take time off from the busy schedule of writing opinions you requested of yourself.
Exactly.
That's a real story. I'm not making that up.
Nope.
So, okay, here's where it's worse. If you were the board of trustees for Gainesville for the law school, Merritt McAllister, the interim dean, has been the one who's been advocating for this, defending it. They're not saying who brought this to the board, but he's the one who's kind of been responsible for it on the law school side. He says, look, he's the attorney general. Of course we can pay him what we think he's worth in terms of prestige and recruiting and appealing to students and being able to brag about the attorney general of the state of Florida's teaching classes here. Except that they didn't tell anybody until after the Miami Herald started poking around asking about how much he was making. And shortly thereafter is when they came out with the announcement. So they didn't announce it like a big get. They announced it like, oh, crap, there's reporters poking around, figuring out what's going on, and they're going to come up with the story. We better announce this to make it look like we did this. So, Oh, man. Boy. It's so ugly. Now, there's also questions. We don't know how he's traveling there because Tallahassee to Gainesville is a couple hours.
Well, it's
normal
expensive.
Person would drive, yeah. But normal person would have driven to Pensacola instead of flying. On whose dime is he traveling? We don't know. It's a fair question. I mean, the teaching of the course is not a question. That's fine. It's the pay and the motive and the kind of cover-up that they didn't broadcast and brag about. It's just like when, remember the whole Florida Foundation, one of the things Alex always said was, if you're a charitable organization, you get $10 million, man, you sing about it.
You do.
They didn't say a word, mostly because they didn't know, or at least knew barely. You know, so the same thing here. If it's a $100,000 gig and it's worth that, you brag about it. Look who we got. Instead of, somebody's poking around. Let's announce it after the fact. So they called they called forgot. Alex for comment.
Oh no, they did.
Yeah, I want to read you the. By the way, the classes he's teaching. It was con law and where did it go?
Consumer
now?
Law.
Yeah, constitutional law.
Oh, okay.
It was. I think it was executive. Powers limitation or something like that. Executive overreach
that's funny.
Was kind of the yeah. So they called Alex and they told him, and here's how it writes in the Miami Herald. When informed of Uthmeyer's $100,000 adjunct salary, State Representative Alex Andrade, a Pensacola Republican who encouraged prosecutors in Leon County to pursue their Hope, Florida case, responded with a 10-second laugh. And Alex, who graduated from UF's law school.
Right.
Also said, well, I guess he is an expert in executive overreach.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
This is the story of the one. As an HVAC technician, he and his digital multimeter are in high demand. So when a noisy office HVAC turns out to be a failing blower motor, he doesn't break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product information, he selects the product he needs to keep everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
You terrible man!
Oh, by the way, I know I'm taking a lot of time on this, but there's so much funny things to say. So Jeremy Redfern, who used to be the chief of staff for Governor DeSantis and is now the deputy PIO or something like that for the attorney general, he's in full-blown attack mode now. He commented on this. Okay, hear me out. Florida's next generation of attorneys are lucky to have him, James Uthmeyer, in public service when he could be making a lot of money in the private sector. So you peasants should be grateful, not complaining, that we're paying $100,000 for the attorney general to teach a two-hour class per semester.
I love that, you peasants.
And then, like on his Twitter, Alex has said, AG owes it to the public to confirm whether or not he takes a state-funded plane every week to go to work at his $100,000 taxpayer-funded side gig, or whether he uses a private donor's plane. So Alex is raising that question. Jeremy Redfern, the distance between Tallahassee and Gainesville is less than the distance between Tallahassee and Alex Andrade's law firm that represents Planned Parenthood. Which, wow, it's true. And in
right,
another part of his the firm, yeah, that he is a part of, he doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, law firms represent a lot of people. And then another one from Jeremy Redfern just this morning. I mean, they're in full, like, freak-out dog mode. Some people say there's a picture of a bunch of tankers flying over the ocean and over the United States. This is Jeremy Redfern again. Some people say these are tankers moving across the Atlantic to provide fuel for a strike on Iran. In reality, these are planes transferring large amounts of abortion money from Planned Parenthood to Alex Andrade's law firm. Man, the louder you scream with the distraction, the more I know he's onto something.
Onto something big.
Man. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines for us. David?
Police in Arizona are still working on the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. They're now hoping that her pacemaker might be able to help find her. They're using a signal sniffer to try to ping it.
All right, very good. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate that. Hey, it's Pensacon week, so be paying attention to that. Also, we have tickets to be given away, so be listening, and you might be able to win and go for free.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Disaster in the mountains of Northern California. 9 skiers are still missing, 6 others rescued when a group on a 3-day backcountry trip were caught in an avalanche Tuesday morning. So is there a window to save the others?
We have a small break today. Hopefully that's enough to get out there and find everyone that they are looking for.
Fox Weather's Brenna Merwin. The Nevada County Sheriff's Office says 2 of the 6 were taken to a hospital for treatment. A roadblock in the search in Tucson for Nancy Guthrie, missing for 18 days.
The DNA on the glove that was found 2 miles away was submitted for CODIS, and I just heard that CODIS had no hits.
That's the Pima County Sheriff Chris Nano speaking to Fox. And the U.S. military says it carries out strikes on 3 more suspected drug boats in Latin American waters, killing 11 people. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. News Radio 92.3. It is 63 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies here around the area today. We'll get to our full forecast. That's on tap with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. A power failure at Ascend Performance Materials and Cantonment led to a chemical leak earlier this week. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection says nitrogen oxides were released from the plant's adipic acid unit, and that started about 10 o'clock Monday morning. The company says there was no environmental impact as a result of this. The leak was reported only out of an abundance of caution. The plant is in the process of restarting its operations now. Nitrogen oxides can cause respiratory issues and skin or eye burns at high exposure levels. Well, some new details on that Gulf Breeze murder case from back in November. An arrest report says 46-year-old Wendy Barber shot and killed her 25-year-old daughter, Reagan, after being told she could no longer see her granddaughter. Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson told News Radio it took several months to make the arrest.
It was November 25th, I think, is when that actually occurred. And the reason it took so long on this one was we had to wait for phones to be downloaded and camera stuff and all that before we actually made the arrest.
And investigators say Barber removed surveillance cameras the night before the shooting. The victim's girlfriend was on a FaceTime call when she heard what investigators believe to have been the gunshot. Wendy Barber is charged with second-degree murder. She's being held without bond. An Alabama sheriff's deputy injured in a high-speed chase was transported to Pensacola for treatment on Tuesday. Monroe County Lieutenant Corey Morrow crashed on Highway 21 during the pursuit of a murder suspect. A medical helicopter couldn't fly due to weather, so an ambulance brought him south with a police escort. Escambia County deputies met the ambulance in Atmore and escorted it to Sacred Heart Hospital. The sheriff says Morrow has been released and is recovering from minor injuries. The suspect was caught in Greenville, Alabama, after a chase that reached speeds of more than 100 miles per hour. President Trump may get his name on an airport in South Florida. The Florida House voting yesterday to rename Palm Beach International Airport as President Donald J. Trump International Airport. A similar bill passed through a committee in the state Senate. Miami Gardens Democrat Senator Chevron Jones says he has ethical concerns that Trump could benefit financially from that name change. Now, Florida Senator Rick Scott is trying to drum up support for the Save America Act. Scott was in Miami yesterday promoting the bill, which would require voters to show an ID before casting a ballot. He says the goal is to make it easy to vote, but hard to cheat. Scott wrote on X, quote, "We must protect the integrity of America's elections." It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a nice warm day today with temperatures warming up into the 70s for your afternoon high. 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, 30% chance of a stray shower, high near 76. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64 degrees. Heading into Friday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 77. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it is 64 degrees in Pensacola. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has lauded nearly $36 billion in investment from Japan to support three American-based projects. It represents the first batch of investments by Tokyo following a landmark trade deal struck under Trump last year. Japanese officials say the oil, gas, and critical mineral projects strengthen the Japan-U.S. alliance. Amazon shares closed up more than 1% yesterday, snapping a 9-day slide that shaved billions off its market cap. The stock shed roughly 18% of its value between February 2nd and Friday, axing more than $450 billion in market valuation. The selling frenzy around Amazon is tied to the company's fourth quarter earnings report released earlier this month. Arthur Mensch, CEO of Mistral AI, said more than 50% of current software in an enterprise could be replaced by artificial intelligence. Software stocks have sold off on fears AI could eat into so-called software as a service business models. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining me in studio right now, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. I didn't get my black sports car pitted out by one of your deputies on Massachusetts Avenue this week, so I'm doing better.
Was it stolen, right?
Well, no, I haven't been driving a stolen car either, so yeah. I might drive it like it's stolen, but it's not actually stolen.
Yeah, try cruising around a stolen car and see what happens.
All right. So what happened here?
Well, that was it. We got word based on our license plate readers that one of the vehicles that we've been looking for, a stolen car, was in the area, and our deputies were in the area. And tried to stop it, and as some stolen cars do, they take off, and we ultimately had to pit them. Remember, we're not trying to let these cars go 100 miles an hour and through traffic. We try to pit them as quickly as we can. In the past, we've had situations where they steal these cars to do bad things, mm-hmm. to do drive-by shootings, to do drug deals or whatever. And so our plan now and has been is to safely pit them as quickly as we possibly can.
And he fled on foot too, right?
After he tried to get out and run a little bit, but yeah. we were in the area.
Did that better than he did. You drove better than he did, and you ran better than he did.
Yeah, well, you know, we're a capable agency.
He didn't actually try to, like, fight back or anything. He submitted after you managed to catch up to him. Okay, because I do have one of my new all-time favorite sound clips from you, by the way.
Don't fight us, bro.
You had his mic on, so I couldn't hear it. It's don't fight us, bro. That's my new sound clip for you that I grabbed from one of our interviews I like. Anyway, so on the pit, though, it's just, you know, it's worth reminding people in case they don't remember. You used to not pursue people for traffic offenses or even stolen car offenses. It was basically, unless it was a forced felony, you pretty much didn't chase. And now you do because
we still don't necessarily chase for traffic offenses. Right. Just traffic, we don't.
Thank you. But for stolen cars,
because what I said, yeah, we have noticed that almost every drive-by shooting we had involved a stolen automobile.
Yeah.
And then we noticed that they were stealing them and then stocking them away somewhere in a backyard somewhere, and then a week later they come back and they'd be used for drive-by shooting.
So this is a way of preempting or preventing the opportunity by having, if you can stop the car, you can stop the person.
Right. I mean, we're not the only agency in the state of Florida doing this. Some agencies don't do it for stolen cars, and some don't have, like, the if you can chase them, you can pit them type of a mentality that we have. But, you know, it cost this car a bumper.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
But
we saw the bumper on the side of the road. So
the one thing they're not going to use is this car for a drive-by shooting in the next couple of days.
Love that. Since you mentioned the Flock license plate readers, this has come up at the county. I think at the county they've talked about, but more so they've been pushing it to the city council. You know, there's some folks here in town that are very upset about the Flock cameras. They say it's, you know, we're entering the surveillance state. The city's got the red light cameras, of course. You know, you guys have the surveillance towers and that are positioned.
Mobile
towers in different places. Can you just maybe talk for a second about what you don't do with the information in the Flock camera system? Because, I mean, I think it's an amazing crime-fighting tool. You can go back and basically it's gathering data, and then over the course of time that it gathers and you keep it, you can go back and query it for things that you're looking for. You know, the new chief of Pensacola Police said they solved a murder with it in Grand Rapids. But people, the concerns they have are about sharing of information, abuse of that system. Can you just talk for a second about what you don't share, how you do make for controls that it's not taken advantage of? You know, angry exes and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, well, I think that what you have to first realize is that these cameras and these license plate readers are in public roadways. They're not pointing at anyone's private property, and you do not have an expectation of privacy on a public roadway. Everyone knows that. So we'll start with that. Secondly, there are rules, there are restrictions. These we don't put license numbers or anything else from ex-girlfriends and that sort of thing on there. And if they do, then they'll be terminated and or charged. I think that these things are, you know, you have to trust a law enforcement agency to a certain degree. And we have protocols and we have rules and we have very stringent hiring practices so that we get people that we can trust to do these things. And there's audits and there's all this other stuff that we adhere to.
And every query of the database is recorded and logged. So it can be looked at to see what you queried. And if you can't justify a query, that can be a cause for
It's just like
action.
Criminal history checks. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't. I can't go there and say, hey, run a criminal history check on Andrew McKay. I can't do that. It has to be for a reason. It has to be based on an arrest. It has to be based on something that pre-employment type of a thing. Mm-hmm. And this is the same thing, like you mentioned. You can see why a tag is entered into the program. And you can see, you know, who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have certain people that have access to that. you talk about the value of these things. Let me give you, for instance, we had a couple of trucks that looked like they were probably stolen that were used to break into an ATM machine, steal ATM machines, and we thought they were not local. We looked at some of the cameras that were in the area, and we saw this white pickup truck that was circling the area. Both of these, I think they were Family Dollars, their ATMs were stolen. And then ultimately, we put that information, that tag information in. Leon County pops up because they're part of this Flock network. Leon County pops up and says, hey, it looks like that they popped on one of our machines. So they start doing surveillance and basically catch them in the act. We would have never caught these people had we not had that Flock camera, that information. And you talked about the new police chief talking about solving murders. The last murder that we had, information was basically given to us. It didn't solve the murder, but certainly helped to build the case and probable cause for it. So I think that technology is continuing to evolve. If you think you're not on a camera when right. you go out in your life, whether you go to the Board of County Commission meeting or you right. go to a supermarket or to a bank, you're going to be on camera. You need to understand that if you're expecting privacy, you probably need to stay in your house.
Apparently somebody in the North End, you tell this story because I think I don't want to. What did they do?
Well, it's as simple as there was a fire department and I guess the fire marshals responded to a car that was on fire up on the side of the road. And we get there and they say, hey, looks like this was intentionally set. So we ran the tag and go to find the guy. And he says, yeah, I set my car on fire. I don't know why. It's just, you know, if anyone was up there and they noticed the car on fire and you wonder what happened, because sometimes cars get,
sure.
I guess they malfunction, overheat, and right. overheat and something, they end up catching fire. Or a traffic accident sometimes can ignite a fire. But in this situation, some dude decided, you know, I'm gonna burn my own car.
Haven't you ever just kind of wondered whether that would burn? You know, will that burn? Won't that burn? You know, they say that dollar bills don't burn very well, and you might be thinking, well, I don't know if a car burns very well, and you want to maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's full of gas probably.
Yeah, or I would like think maybe there was some smell in it that he was trying to get rid of or, you know, no.
I don't know. I'm curious as we called his insurance company. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Matches
so this
and
is,
gas.
It's Carson.
It's, yeah, okay, all right. Where's your, yeah.
Was, come on, come on, I deserve better than that.
Boo.
All right.
You may.
Fine. I saw this, and I just thought it would be interesting, and you guys do all kinds of community outreach stuff, but elsewhere in, I think it's Orange County in Orlando, they have an ice cream truck that was, I don't know if it was a drug seizure ice cream truck. I'm not sure how that would work, or if it was just drug seizure money they used to buy the ice cream truck so they can go around at events and distribute ice cream to all the kids. But I don't know. Is that something you guys either have ever thought about or would think about? Or
we have. I've been approached many times about this ice cream truck business because other people have seen Orange County.
Yeah.
I believe they bought the truck.
Yeah.
Maybe used, but they bought the truck. I don't know. Every time I seem to go to a place that serves ice cream, the machine's always out. It seems like that's a lot of maintenance for me, and I love me some ice cream. But it's not something that we've looked at. It's not something that I'm considering.
You could
now,
be the,
if we seized an ice cream truck, we might use it
if
for
you
a
had if that
of,
was the thing itself.
Weeks.
Okay,
you know, like the Corvette, we seized, and people, oh my gosh, you're seizing people's cars. Yeah, they're criminals. They're buying it with bad money.
So if you seize the ice cream truck, then that might be repurposed.
Yeah, but I mean, how many ice cream trucks are committing crimes around here? I don't
You ask
know.
Me like I'd have knowledge.
Yeah,
I don't know
get around.
I could see you being like the McDonald's ice cream machine response team that whenever a local McDonald's goes down, the ECSL rolls up, they got lights blaring.
Station outside.
We got your ice cream for you, bro.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about more serious things. I've talked to other law enforcement about this, but I wanted to get your input as well. Obviously, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the ICE people, are having this conversation about what rules, you know, you're a big believer in body cameras. You've pioneered them at both agencies. I know you believe in those. Wearing masks and name tags, I've said, under normal circumstances, of course. Under rare exceptions, it might be okay to conceal the identity of an informant that's going along with the team or something, whatever. But I hate the idea of having guys, law enforcement, run around without name tags and with masks on. Sheriff Johnson yesterday said, well, I don't like it either, but, you know, if the local law enforcement's not doing their job. Your thoughts about that, but there's also, as I understand it, a push for a law that might change some of this. But you tell me what's going on here. What's your, first of all, what's your view? And then what do you see, what do you hear might be happening?
Well, I see our sheriff's office as part of the community. We live in the community. We have take home cars. We park a car in front of our house. It seems to me like, I do not believe that we should wear masks in local law enforcement. Now, their situation is a little bit different because there were some bona fide attempts, as I understand it, to dox them and to threaten them or to harm their family. So you might want to take that case by case and punish those that are doing that instead of a rule that says you cannot wear a mask. We're not wearing masks at the sheriff's office. We're as open and transparent as any agency that I know. But we're also going to support our federal partners. We're going to support our state. And if ICE comes here to do a legitimate, the course of their work, then we're going to support them. So I don't know that it's going to be an issue here. And so I don't necessarily have an I'm not sitting at home thinking, okay, should I prohibit masks or allow masks? We're just not going to wear masks. We have name tags. We have numbers on our cruiser cars. And again, we park cruiser cars at our house. And then someone starts to intimidate or try to intimidate or threaten one of our deputies, then we will be quick to respond to that.
You'll deal with that. Agreed. And I love it when we're biking around all the time and we see cop cars. I'm like, oh, good. You know, I like seeing cops around. It's good. But on that, I guess there's a push to maybe expand the HALO law. That's the one that gives you in Florida, is it 25 feet, 30 feet, whatever it is, that if you're engaged in a law enforcement activity, you can tell everybody to stay back that far for the safety of the officer, also for the safety of the public. Man, I would love to see a law like that put in place for, you know, your folks who are doing ICE activity. In fact, that seems like a fair trade, is we'll give you name tags and no masks if you give us the HALO law so that people have to stay back 20 or 25 feet.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand why they weren't – it wasn't just the law enforcement officers or firefighters and ambulance crews. Well, why they're not included already
question.
In this HALO law. And as I understand it, there's a bill running through either the House or the Senate, the state legislature to include federal law enforcement. I certainly would support that. Again, if you're in need of a HALO, then you're probably going to need us there anyways, and we're certainly there to help you.
There's a couple of other things that are working in the state of Florida that you guys have been paying attention to. Trafficking amounts for xylazine. It's currently not, you have a distribution prohibition, but and a possession prohibition, but trafficking is not quantified. Is that right?
That's correct. You know, we talk about there's a possession of a certain controlled substance, and there's possession with intent to distribute based upon the amounts and how it's packaged. And then there's the higher level, which usually has minimum mandatory sentencing. And at this point, xylazine, this whole horse tranquilizer that now we see are mixing with, people are mixing with fentanyl. There was no trafficking amount. And so Senate Bill 432 is going to strengthen the law and add xylazine to the state's drug trafficking statute.
And there was one other one you were telling me about I thought was interesting. We have prohibitions on where sex offenders can live not in proximity to schools or daycares, for example, 1,000 feet. But there's a gap in that, and one of the proposed laws would be to make it so they cannot live within 1,000 feet of two other locations, which are
Public pools, splash pads, and what they call spray pools, which is, you know, they're becoming more and more popular, splash pads. And there has been places in other parts of the state of Florida where they've caught sexual offenders and sexual predators hanging out at splash pads. You know, that first of all, it's creepy, and secondly, it's wrong. So we're gonna there's a new move again to add that to the restrictions. So not only can they not live within 1,000 feet where children commonly gather, but it also adds public pools, splash pads, and those spray pools to that.
You know, it's interesting. I completely agree with that when it comes to splash pads, because if you're going to stop schools, a splash pad is much more open to them than even a school would be, because schools have fences and adults and all that kind of stuff. I mean, sort of splash pads, but not fences. Pools, though, have fences, and that doesn't seem quite the same to me, but,
I think there are some public pools that people can just walk up and just sit there and watch the kids play, sort of thing. I think that's where they're getting it.
Very good. Chip Simmons is the Escambia County Sheriff.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes responsibilities change. You never know. No, he's the Escambia County Sheriff. And he says, don't fight me, bro. Sheriff, thanks always for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, doing a real estate transaction for, you know, residential, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. I don't know what your goal is. You know, maybe you are, you're upsizing because you're growing your family. Maybe you're downsizing because you're empty nesting. Maybe you want to move to the beach. Maybe you want to move from the beach to the city or to the country or to Milton or to Pensacola or, you know, I don't know. You want to live in Jay. You've always wanted to live in Jay. You've always wanted to live in, you know, Perdido. There's all kinds of reasons people move. So if you're doing a home change of any kind, maybe first-time buyer, man, especially first-time buyers, Christina's fantastic. I remember the first time we bought a house and, you know, we had a realtor. and, you know, I wish, man, I cannot imagine how nice it would have been to go back in history and have somebody of, I wasn't here, it was in, you know, St. Louis, but go back in history and have somebody of Christina or her team's caliber helping us. Oh, man, it just, anyway, it's good to have a good realtor, especially on your first house, because you know they're going to take care of everything for you. They're going to point out the problems, help you learn along the, on the way in the process, answer your questions, and make sure you feel good about all of it. Buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
The Visit Pensacola Sunbelt Championships presented by Air Force Reserve is back at the Pensacola Bay Center March 3rd through the 9th. Single game tickets are on sale now as low as $15 for an adult ticket. Stop by the Bay Center box office or go to visitpensacola.com/sunbelt to buy those tickets and get more information about our tournament promotional schedule. And make sure you join us Saturday, March 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for a free fan fest with food, music, and fun for all ages. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Frank!
Hey, honey! Hey!
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking! We're going up through the quad to the gymnasium!
Exactly the Van Halen I needed at this moment in my life. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. There is a search that is continuing in California for nine skiers that have been missing after an avalanche in Northern California. Six of the 15, there were 15 skiers originally. Six of them have been found, but they were stranded for hours as rescuers tried to reach them. The avalanche in the Sierra Nevada was reported on Tuesday morning. President Trump says the late Reverend Jesse Jackson was a force of nature. Trump paid his respects to Jackson on Tuesday after the news broke that he died at the age of 84. And the men's hockey team meeting Sweden in the quarterfinals today at the Winter Olympics. Team USA is the 2 seed after going 3-0 in group play. And there were also a couple more medals added yesterday. American Mac Forehand earned the silver medal in the men's free ski big air final. I don't know what the men's free ski is, but it sounds fun.
It's doing aerials and things like that. I mean, it's doing, you might call them tricks, you know, flips and twists and that kind of stuff. I don't know why they call it free ski. That's a new term to me this year, too. But that is apparent. That's the word they're using for.
You know, I would watch that. That sounds great.
Instead of the snowboarding, it's either, you know, aerials with the skis or it's snowboarding and free ski for the aerials, I guess.
Okay, so. Well, that's cool. The U.S. also got the silver medal in the men's speed skating team pursuit.
You know, I will say this. David, thanks so much for the update. You know, I'm a big fan of the Olympics. I don't like every sport necessarily. But whenever I'm watching the Olympics, and which things you choose to watch, because I don't watch everything. There's no time. But I start to think about, like, why do I like this sport versus that sport? And one of the reasons you like a sport is, or at least for me, is you understand it. It's hard to like a thing you don't understand. It's also hard to like a thing where you cannot tell the difference between greatness and mediocrity. You know, like I'm watching the pairs figure skating and I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, they were fantastic and the other ones were not as good. You know, I can tell the difference. And not just because somebody falls, but even in other elements. You know, you watch things enough, you get to learn what's good and not so good about them. I'm watching the aerials, both for the slope style for snowboarding and then the aerials for skiing and the slope style for skiing. And I'm like, I even understand these sports and I can't tell. I don't know why that guy got a 70 and that guy got an 85. And that guy got a 60. They all looked great to me, and I'm like, so obviously I don't care about this sport. Because if I can't tell the difference between good and great, the fun of watching it just goes away. It's all just meh.
Stream us.